Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I liked when we were talking about the greatness that was Ace Frehley and Kiss. That's
I did
what
too.
I enjoyed the
Good
most
start to
this
the show. Then we have more internal drama.
Lindbaum.
And now if we're talking about baseball, I can't disagree with your take that the Dodgers are seemingly a runaway freight train on their way to a second straight World Series title.
I had to laugh this morning. I saw this. He's a good dude. His name's Michael. He's a Dodger fan on Twitter. He tweeted an hour ago, anyone else worried about the Dodgers getting a week off if they close it out today? And I just sent the gif of Stanley from The Office just giving him the eye roll look. No one's worried about the Dodgers getting an extra week off if they close it out today, which they most certainly will. The Brewers, Ben, it's been like getting a root canal and watching a root canal at the same time. It's been excruciating. They look like they don't have a clue what they're doing. They have nine hits in three games. Nine hits. You know what that average is? I'm terrible at that. That's three hits a game.
I don't know, though, that it's a Brewers issue.
It's a both. I mean, look, you're going to obviously
know,
I'm not going to come in here
to hit these Dodgers pitchers right now.
I'm not going to come in here and not give massive amounts of credit to Snell, Yamamoto, and Glasnow. Glasnow helped out by the shadows yesterday, as was Mizorowski. Why you would do that game at 3 p.m. with that shadow there is beyond me. Someone could have gotten killed. And I don't say that lightly. If Mizorowski lets one slip away, it could have killed a guy. You couldn't see it. They kept showing the view.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of postseason baseball.
Is the elements.
You're getting the best pitchers. You're also getting these weird times and shadows. There's a reason, like, 70% of playoff games have ended 3-1.
Right.
Just like last night's did.
Yep.
Two of the Padres games ended 3-1. One of them ended 3-0. 3-1. It's the score of the postseason in 2025. I don't see the Blue Jays or Mariners. You know, both have good offenses, but are they going to hit these Dodgers pitchers consistently in the World Series?
Right.
I don't think so. The game was close. I mean, you know, the Brewers pitched well. Miz was really good. Five innings, three hits.
He's great. The walks hurt him at the end.
To what Tyler Glasnow was, 5 2/3 innings, three hits. But he only walked the one, but, you know, an error hurt as well.
For Miz? I thought he walked two straight.
The pickoff.
No.
He didn't throw that pickoff.
Uribe threw
that
pickoff.
It was Uribe who came in and then allowed the inherited run to score. So,
but no, like, they're going to be... They're it's on. It's over, man. It's over. I actually stupidly said Dodgers in five. I guess I don't know ball. It's going to be Dodgers in four. There is blood in the water. I loved what Mookie... You can't even get mad at these guys because they're winners, man. They talked to Mookie after, hey, how do you feel about being up 3-0? He goes, I have no emotion about it at all. The job's not done. And I went, that's a stone-cold killer. Curse you forever, Boston. Curse you forever, Atlanta. Curse you forever, Anaheim. All you idiots had to do was pay your generational superstars what they deserved, and we wouldn't be going through this mess as Padres fans.
The Dodgers are also...
How do you even root for the Red Sox anymore? What's the equivalent? Tatis? You let that guy go. You let him walk over money. You're the Boston Red Sox.
Pretty good comp, yeah.
You let him walk over money. How do you even root for that team, knowing that they let him go over money?
We've also said, though, the rules don't really apply to the Dodgers somehow.
Right.
the decisions they make. You move a guy to shortstop like they did,
works.
That comes back and bites most teams. Okay, yeah, it's not working. Defense, he's been fantastic. Gold Glove nominee.
He made an unbelievable play last the old Jeter play. He said he's never practiced it once.
Of course.
He just decided to break it out in the playoffs. I tip my hat. As much as I hate that team, I have to show respect and tip my hat, because watching them play is like watching the world's greatest surgeon cut somebody up. They're incredible. You can't say you'd be a fool to get on here and say that they haven't done it perfectly. The way that they handled the regular season, it was a calculated risk. It worked out for them. Everything seems to, and it certainly is right now.
Deepest pitching staff, starting pitching staff, deepest lineup ever in baseball. They have one flaw. It's their bullpen.
And they've
completely hidden it, essentially, in the playoffs.
See, last night, yesterday.
And Roky Sasaki fixed half of the problem for them by being available and throwing 100 in October.
Yesterday, you looked at it and you went, okay, Vessi is in. They're going to cough this up. They didn't. Trinan came in and started throwing frisbees that were, he left one up. They missed it. But the rest, he located and was nasty and it was moving. So, yeah, man, it's written in the stars, dude. It's going to be tough.
I think the biggest drama left in the postseason now is, will the Seattle Mariners end their franchise drought and finally reach a World Series? Looked like it was almost a foregone conclusion a couple of days ago, up 2-0 after taking two straight in Toronto. But now, after losing two in a row at home in front of, I guess the fans weren't as good as we thought. I mean, no. I mean, those fans deserve better the last couple of days than seeing their team get bodied twice in a row. The Blue Jays certainly are a good team, but hey, you get your number 9 hitter hitting home runs in back-to-back games, and Andrés Giménez, you're probably going to put up a bunch of runs. And the Mariners did not get good pitching performances by Kirby and Castillo the last 2 days. And now, all of a sudden, they've got to be feeling not panicky, but you can't wrap it up at home.
Panicky.
You're going to have to go back to Toronto. And if you lose today, you're going back to Toronto in a horrible position.
You guys, I texted both of you and I go, I don't understand baseball. I don't gamble anymore at all. I haven't made a bet in months. Had I looked at that game yesterday, regardless of what the line was, I would have taken the Mariners as heavy as my guy would have let me. Because I'm looking at it going, Max Scherzer hasn't thrown a competitive pitch in 3 weeks. He's also...
And when he did, he had given up, 19 runs in 21 innings.
Yep. So Max Scherzer is fully cooked. Fully. Like, cooked as cooked can be. And I said, Luis Castillo is an absolute rock for that team. He is going to go out and shove in front of the 50,000 wild Seattleites. Is that what they're called, Paulie? Seattleites?
Mm-hmm.
The wild Seattleites that are going to be screaming from first pitch. He's going to throw at least 5, probably 6, and he's going to get this team to 3-1. He got rocked. It was terrible.
Shortest outing of his career, pitch-wise.
It just makes no sense, man. And again, you talk about the lights getting bright in October. You looked at it. You looked at it right there. You saw it. And Max Scherzer goes out and gives you 5 complete or 6 complete.
Got into the 6. Into 5 and 2/3. 3 hits. 2 runs, 4 walks, but didn't hurt him too badly, and 5 strikeouts.
Had the vintage curveball working that was so deep and nasty, and kind of willed and gutted his way through that. Now, you know, if they end up going to the World Series, is he going to be able to continue that? Who knows? But they still got to get through this one. Seattle needs to figure out a way to right the ship. But it was, I mean, they got absolutely bodied 2 games in a row at home.
Gad, the moment, of course, that everyone was talking about in the 5th when manager John Schneider came out.
Yeah.
And Max Scherzer screamed at him.
I've been trying to read his lips for every time I saw it. I have no idea what he said. He was like, guttural. He was like, that's what I heard when I saw it.
I'm just going to say, I don't like Max Scherzer. I've never liked Max Scherzer. He's the only pitcher who's ever pitched for 8 different teams in the postseason. Does that tell you something a little bit about Max Scherzer as well? The act that he puts on, and I'm not saying it's not genuine.
I don't know
he's genuinely a crazy person when he's out there competing. But if I was another player, it would drive me crazy.
Yeah, unless you won. If you won the ring, You would love him. You'd love him. You'd hate him playing against him.
I wouldn't want to play with him. I really wouldn't, because the implication is Max Scherzer cares more than everybody else.
No,
and until you care as much as Max Scherzer, then you're not doing it well enough.
I don't see.
And if you had a team full of 26 Max Scherzers,
go crazy.
It would be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare.
Yeah, but you don't got one. And he came through yesterday in a spot that
But why
no
is
one...
he so special that he gets to be the one?
What do you mean? That's his personality. I don't look, those guys are crazy. Like, I don't like that necessarily either, but I think he's, you know, obviously he's had a great career. And the fact that he was able to turn back the clock a little bit last night, I was massively impressed. And like I said, I would have lost a grand on that game because that was easy money. I'm looking at that thing going, this is a joke. And by the way, he walked two in a row. He tried to give it away to Seattle. They didn't capitalize. And now the panic.
Base running mistake did not help them
did
there.
Not a couple.
Had the tying run going to be coming up.
Naylor got thrown out at third. The guy got picked off first. It's just the lights get bright. You start going outside of your comfort zone, just like the Brewers are doing. They're not the Brewers that won 96 games. You watch this team and you go, how'd you guys win 65 games? I mean, really? Like, you look at them, they're little. They just like little dudes up there trying to slap balls into the gap off of these incredible pitchers that the Dodgers have. And I'm telling you, man, like, it keeps reinforcing to me, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, it keeps reinforcing to me, I don't care about the regular season anymore. I don't care. Build your team for October.
All right, so Vlad Guerrero Jr. is having a monster postseason. Hit his fifth home run of the playoffs last night. And, you know, I don't follow the Blue Jays in the regular season that closely, you know, but he went back and looked, and he didn't have a particularly great regular season. It was fine.
It was okay. It was okay.
23 home runs, two less than Tatis. I mean, you think that guy is, I mean,
he's a monster.
Monster power. Tatis, who we all said had a disappointing power season, had more home runs than Vlad Guerrero Jr. There, OPS wise, average wise, Vlad a little better than Tatis. Tatis, though, had, you know, two more WAR than Vlad Guerrero Jr. Really good comp between those two players. Yeah. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has a chance now to shine on the postseason stage.
The five bombs?
Five bombs, yeah.
Man.
I think that's what you're hoping for from Tatis. He's done it in other playoffs where he's been a monster. He can be a monster like Vlad is. Wasn't a monster this year for the Padres. You know, in three games, never really got a chance to get going, didn't get going, and the Padres were out.
Yep.
Same thing could have happened to Vlad Jr. very easily. You know, they lose a couple of games early, doesn't get a chance to get going, but he had the opportunity, and he is now cashing in with a postseason, you know, that is cementing or building on his, you know, his legacy and reputation, and people will point to this now. Look at, you remember what Vlad did back in the 2025 playoffs?
Yep.
You know, he's such a great gamer, primetime player sort of thing. But
well, I mean, he started slow. He didn't do anything in Toronto.
No.
You know, and has come on and helping lead his team.
And you know, maybe Tatis would have locked in had the Padres played some more games, would have had a huge monster postseason. But unless you get the opportunity, kind of my point here, you know, it's hard to judge in three games whether a guy had a good or a bad postseason. But now once you've had 9-10 games to play, now the numbers are starting to show, and Vlad is having a monster postseason.
And again, you know, I you guys know me, man. Like, out of the three of us, who watches more regular season baseball than me? Or do you guys? It's
no, you
me.
Watch the
I watch the most. I love baseball. I love the regular season. I'm watching these playoffs going, oh, God, it's making me literally not care. It's making me not care. I just want to build a team for October. Now, and follow me here, Benny. Talked to Skip the other day. Said, how do you win in October? He said, Woodsy, one word, it's slug. Okay, we've heard that. We've heard all the stats. The team with the most home runs wins 95, whatever the stats say. It bears it out in a big sample size, a big enough to know, all right, we got to hit the ball out of the ballpark. If you built your team for slug and they got to the postseason and they didn't slug, is there going to be anyone come? Am I going to come on the airwaves on Monday and go, should have gotten some slap contact, guys, man? No, I'm not. It's just, it's hard to hit. They didn't hit.
But the slug,
we have the right team.
The slug they're getting is from the player who's the most like the player we have in Tatis.
I know.
They didn't get slug from Vlad Jr. this season.
No, they got 25 bombs.
23
bombs.
23. And, but he's doing it in the playoffs. So you could say they didn't build their way. They didn't build themselves for this, but they're getting it now. Well, so did the Padres then.
He's a slugger.
So is Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. So is Fernando Tatis Jr. They have sluggers on the team who didn't slug.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays got their slug from some of the other guys on the roster who haven't really been doing it. They haven't had Bo Bichette play a game yet, you know, in the postseason. Some of the other guys, you know, Varsho, he had a couple of good games early, but he's been quieter lately. I mean,
Ian says the Blue Jays are a contact team.
They are very much. They strike out like the Padres, very little.
Did they not slug a lot in the regular season?
They slugged more than the Padres, for sure.
40 home runs more than we did.
Okay.
They had a deeper lineup. What the Blue Jays have that the Padres don't, they're not putting in a Luis Arraez. They don't have their 7 and 8 home run hitters at the bottom. At the bottom, they're getting 20 to 25 from those guys, too. So those are the extra 40. The sluggers are the sluggers.
I guess comparing anybody to the San Diego Padres slug-wise, you're going to look way, way better.
The Brewers weren't a slug team either. They still hit way more homers than the Padres. They were like 18th as opposed to 28th.
Yeah.
Everybody hit more, but it's not that the Padres sluggers aren't slugging enough. They didn't quite this year, but they... Tatis and Machado weren't the slug problem. Gavin Sheets wasn't the slug problem. It's those other guys who don't hit any, you know, near the bottom of the order. The Fermin is, you know, was a massive upgrade, but no slug at
all. Half your roster can't be in single digits.
No slug. Jake is not, you know, a slug guy. He'll hit a few, but you can't hit enough home runs when four of your guys are single digit or just 10 home run hitters every season.
Ray said Blue Jays led the league in OPS. That's on base plus slug.
They got on base was amazing, too. They got on base a lot this year.
So getting on base
and slugging.
And slugging them in is good.
Third. They were third. No, it's still very good. Still very good. So, again, and I hate that I'm in that. And maybe it's just the fact that I'm watching playoff games and it's making me sick that we're not in it. But I'm like, oh, my God, this is what you live for. This is really what you play 162 for and build your team with the ability to hit the ball in the gaps and hit the ball out of the ballpark. But, again, I do realize that there's some factor of luck involved in that, because when you have guys that don't, you know, Jimenez is just homered in two straight games. He's not a home run hitter. So it just, some guys shine brighter in October. He's enough of one.
At the bottom of the lineup is exactly what the Padres need, something like that. Yep. That's the difference right now. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, get to Don't Do This. One of our colleagues at The Fan in Pittsburgh sent out a tweet he might be regretting today. We can get to that coming up.
Yeah, sometimes you don't place bets. Yeah, you don't make bets like this. I think that's not a great
idea. Especially for one game on a Thursday night. I'll get to that coming up next, and then Darren Smith at the bottom of the hour. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, gang, not sure what your weekend plans are, but if you are in the market for a new whip, highly recommend heading down to Sedano Ford and Lincoln in La Mesa for the October spooktacular savings. Ooh, going on right now. So we enjoy San Diego's endless fall sunshine and incredible savings. Manny Sedano, Marine vet, car matchmaker extraordinaire. Guy is firmly entrenched in the car business and really knows what he's doing. He's offering unbeatable deals like the 2025 Ford Mach-E Select for $341 a month and just a dollar down. Need a truck? The 2025 Ford F-150 STX, again, dollar down, $467 a month. Grab the 2025 Bronco Sport Big Ben, just a dollar down, $335 a month. And if you're looking for savings and luxury, how about the 2025 Lincoln Corsair Hybrid all-wheel drive, $355 a month on a 36-month lease? That's pretty incredible. Visit their inventory at Sedano Ford and Lincoln Megastore and to fall into great savings with dollar down savings all month long. Let them know Woodsy sent you down there. For more details about these offers, go to SedanoFord.com or SedanoLincoln.com and keep it spooky.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Darren Smith coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, though, let's get to Don't Do This. It is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think, Joe. Ugh. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. And all three of our DDT stories today come from the same
wild
game,
right?
Last night.
Right.
Thursday Night Football. Steelers Bengals, you heard it here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, and it was a good game.
Well, yeah, the
another good primetime game.
The baseball was getting out of control up in Seattle, so I flipped over to Amazon Prime and I got there right at the right time. Aaron Rodgers has the ball. They're driving, they're down.
I was watching at the same time. 30-24.
2 minutes left, 2:20 left. Yeah. At 30-24, Aaron Rodgers drops back, evades the rush, and a vintage Aaron Rodgers throw down the field. Touchdown, Steelers.
I thought it was going to be intercepted.
I mean,
and
he
then
threw
it
into
through
coverage,
the defense, and then Freiermuth just ran to 68 yards all the way.
Yep.
But they scored too soon.
So the don't do this was, as he is very, very excited. He's running off the field. He's kind of pumping his fist. He gets bodied and tackled from behind by his own teammate, Ben, Broderick Jones, who was so excited, he jumped on Aaron Rodgers and tackled him. He threw the ground and landed on him. And Aaron Rodgers got up, and he was fit to be tied. He was furious.
It's almost as though Broderick Jones didn't remember he was a 300-plus pound
right.
Like man.
Like,
just like jumping on the shoulders of his teammate. Like,
right. And like,
bro, he's 41, and you got 200 pounds on the
tore
guy.
Tore his ACL last year. Like, I'd say.
And Aaron was not happy about it.
He was livid. Actually shoved him.
Yeah.
Like, was
yeah.
furious
he was not
about
happy.
It. And I think for good reason. I really do. I think for good reason. Like, hey, dude, smarten up. Relax. You don't need to tackle me. What if he got hurt? What if that guy jumping on him knocked him out?
If you're Broderick Jones in that moment and how sick you feel, like it's Aaron Rodgers gets up
you?
And screams at you, and you're like, you want to hide. You're in this sold out
stadium. I'm so sorry,
bro.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sure everything's fine today.
I can't believe I did that. Well, I don't know. I mean, they did not win the game, which brings us to...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well,
yeah,
that's not why they lost.
That's not why they lost, but they did not win the game, which brings us to part two of Don't Do This. And this is from our colleague, Andrew Filippone, one of the hosts at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, who tweeted yesterday afternoon, "There's no way the Steelers lose tonight. In fact, I'll get my nipples pierced with no numbing agents if they lose to the Bungles. It ain't happening."
He'll get his nipples pierced. Radio hosts are known for this. I've done it. Got myself in some hot water before. You know, I'll do this if we lose. You know, I'll do this if we win. I stupidly did the... I'll shotgun a Red Bull if Tim Hill gets out of this. And that son of a bitch got out of the bases loaded, nobody out jam, and I had to go shotgun a Red Bull.
Yeah, I had to do a show in a diaper
when the
Padres hit Grand Slams four straight days.
But I'm telling you, piercing your nipple, it would have to be, you know, if the Padres win the World Series next year, I'll get a nipple pierced. That was just something like that. Not a friggin' Thursday night football game between the Steelers and the Bengals.
Elisa says, WTF, piercing places don't use numbing agents.
What, do they not?
Well, I know for the ears, they just have that quick gun, piercing gun. I've never had, have you ever had anything pierced?
It's my penis, that's it. No, I haven't. No, my ears, yeah.
You did pierce your ears?
Yeah, both.
They're not pierced anymore?
No.
When did you do that?
16.
Age 16.
Yeah.
Dad, and you did both of them.
Furious. Yeah.
2016?
Gary was not happy about it.
No.
He just came home one day.
Yeah. Went to Texas for the summer to see family when we lived in Connecticut, where I went back to my hometown. And ended up going to the mall, going to Claire's, and got a little diamond stud. And he was none too pleased. Then pierced my other one senior year of high school. He was not happy.
What did you put in the other one? A hoop?
Actually, I had two in this one and one in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I had Pauly, any piercings?
Nope. Never had one.
It was out by the time Pauly was in high school. No, he did it. And, like, you see a little bit now. It is jarring when you see it now. You're like, whoa, okay, you got your ear pierced. It's wild.
Oh, edgy.
Ooh, so edgy. It actually is edgy again, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because back then, everybody had it. And all of us wore little hoop earrings. And makes me cringe.
Never had a piercing. Never really had the desire for it.
Now you
got a tattoo that hurt. I want more.
Yeah. You have famously sensitive nipples, though. So
they're so tiny. Imagine trying to get a needle through this little. If you have those big, thick, rony nipples, like you're fine. This little guy,
you're very small.
They're so tiny. Why are we showing the diaper picture? I didn't ask.
That's on Pauly.
But I
radio hosts making dumb bets.
I don't think I could have. Is he going to do it? He asked to. No.
I mean,
put it out there.
It's embarrassing either way. Now you are either humiliated for doing it or humiliated for not doing it. Pick your poison.
What would you, if you had to pierce something today, what would it be? Ear?
Ear.
What about your belly button?
I don't really have one.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see it again. It's getting.
What do you mean it's getting? Oh, it's so weird. It's got like a hood.
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, you can pierce the hood there.
It's not great. I don't want that.
A little loop?
No.
No? All right. Let's do some doo-doo.
That brings us to our doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Let's just straight give it up for Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, everybody.
Dude, how many times has he been cast on the garbage heap of the NFL?
He's
only to rise again. And last night, Joe Flacco threw for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns on a team that he's been with for like 8-9 days.
Yep.
And out-dueled fellow 40-something Aaron Rodgers. To win the game and really save the season, at least for now, for the Cincinnati Bengals. Who,
you know,
I mentioned yesterday, if they lost, I mean, Pittsburgh was pretty much running away with the division. But now they're a game and a half back. They got some momentum, and they're just trying to survive until, you know, maybe Joe Burrow gets back late in the season. But Joe Flacco seems like he was just what they needed. And a division rival gave them to him.
Yeah, yes.
Gave Joe Flacco.
Midweek, division rival goes, here's Flacco.
People around football were going, why would you give
Mike Tomlin
Joe Flacco?
Said it.
Mike Tomlin said, why? Now he was right. Why would you give a division rival what they needed to save their season?
Hey, L.A., I know your bullpen is a little bit dicey. How's Mason Miller? Will he work for you? Well, Adrian Morejon as well. Like, what? Doesn't make any sense. I liked, dude, and it was a cool moment between Rodgers and Flacco at the end when they went up and they looked at each other. It was almost like that look of like, USOB, you got me. And he's like, yeah, I did. And a big hug. And he said after the game, I can't wait to talk to my wife tonight. Hear it in her voice and all of those things. Talking to family reminds you of how special this is. He's incredible. That was an incredible performance.
41, I think, right?
41, 80, 40.
80, 40. So 81 combined 81. Years old between those two quarterbacks. Joe Flacco. Pretty damn good career.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Super one of Bowl, the best to yeah. ever do it. And I they only have one Super Bowl each.
Yeah.
And that is Don't and Doo-Doo This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It showed how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. My God.
100%.
Purple in the chat says, didn't expect Ben to be so hairy, to be honest.
I didn't either, actually.
What's the expectation of... Maybe that's what I need for my birthday. Never, body hair trimmer. I don't have one of those.
You've never...
Done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Done. How about it? You want to get lasered? I can smooth you out. I won't do it, but I can...
Why won't you do it?
Hot wax?
I'm not... Because I don't need it, dude. I'm almost hairless. And I don't shave any of this. I just am naturally, like, hairless.
I do need some help in that, probably, department.
And live out that scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah. Waxed. Want to get waxed?
Ah! Kelly Clarkson.
It doesn't sound fun.
I don't think. I think I got my nose hairs waxed on the air one time. It hurts like a.
I'm telling you right now. It's not a good birthday present. But the audio of Ben getting waxed.
Incredible.
Just pulling out one nose hair
kills you.
It's the worst feeling.
I know.
I mean,
I know we have Darren coming.
I feel
on.
Like my brain's going to explode.
But Does your nose hair grow at an alarming?
Yes, it's starting
alarming.
To get there.
Paulie, I'll zap it in the morning, and by the time I get home at 3, I'm like, what like happened? Selleck. What is happening? You're supposed to lose hair when you get older.
There's no alternative to getting old. You don't want the alternative of not getting old.
That's true. It's regenerating at an alarming rate.
Fast.
I have to carry one around in my pocket, I think.
Man, I hate. Oh, just the
pop. Oh. Yeah, let's get to Darren.
All right, Darren Smith coming up next.
No, he's going to be fired up today.
On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
Mentioned I was down at 7 Mile Casino yesterday. Went to lunch at Sammy's. Had the Kung Pao Chicken off the 24/7 players menu. It was phenomenal as always, but even at like 11:45 on a Thursday, good action.
Oh, yeah,
good
action.
It was busy.
Good.
It was absolutely busy. There were some people at the, California-style blackjack tables were pretty full. There was some poker action going on the right side. And like three or four of the Baccarat tables there, which are right next to Sammy's, I was kind of watching them for a little bit as I was waiting to get my food. And just they were into it. It was a good scene on a Thursday.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you because I know you got the Kung Pao, which never disappoints. The vibe was good at 7 Mile Casino.
Yeah, a lot of people
having
lunch. Families, I said, coming in were having lunch.
Yep.
There were some old ladies doing lunch at 7 Mile. It's comfortable. They got big booths. I sat just at the bar. Just wanted to, it was a one top. So
yep.
I was by myself, but always a great spot. TV were on. Everything was just as it should have been at 7 Mile Casino yesterday.
And for the Tier 1s listening, make sure you get down there, man. Just 7 minutes from downtown. You won't be disappointed. No slot machines, no cigarette smoke blowing in your face. It's not your everyday average casino, and it's not your everyday average card room either. It's a really great place to go. And it should be on their billboards. If it's fancy enough for Ben Higgins, it's certainly fancy enough for you. It's also 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's keep it moving. We got Darren Smith standing by, our weekly conversation. Much more to talk about after another piece from Dennis Lynn and Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic this morning about A.J. Preller's future or potential lack thereof with the San Diego Padres. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline, Darren Smith is with us, and as much as the Padres would like to tell us, nothing to see here, move on, everything's fine, it seems very clear, Darren, that that's not really the case. Not everything is fine in the front office with the San Diego Padres, and probably hasn't been in a very long time.
Whatever are we talking about? Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
Yeah, it's just it's another Padre offseason, isn't it?
It is.
So, it's a good thing that we're all sort of conditioned for this kind of thing. It's just an interesting look. I think I read a little bit of that Dennis Lynn piece this morning. I presume that's what we're chatting about. And
well, that's the first. The first thing.
Yeah. I think it's I think the thing that stands out to me is just how things have operated here. And, Dennis talks about how when A.J. Preller was promoted from general manager to president of baseball operations, Eric Rupner was promoted from head of business to CEO. That was done simultaneously. Those things, Peter takes over in November of 2020, I think. And then in January, February 2021, this is the structure that's get announced. And you can visualize it, right? Peter's on top, left-hand man, right-hand man. Two equal houses, this is the way the business is going to be. And what Dennis points out here today, I think, is a little bit of a shift that Now we know one of those two parties, which were considered equal parts back when Peter was making the shot, calling the shots, got promoted, and the other one has not. So
they're extended.
Yeah, right. Extended. So, right, they were promoted and extended back in 2021. Now one of them has been extended and maybe promoted a little bit because there was that detail about a piece of ownership. So
yeah.
I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, and I think it just lends itself to questions and also explains a little bit that things have evolved and things have changed here, which we all knew.
You know, I don't know if you heard the show yesterday at all, Darren, but at the end of the show, we were teasing your appearance today. And I said, I've watched a couple of Darren's clips about the Mike Schilt situation. And I said, I think for the first time in my life, having listened to Darren since I moved here in 15 years ago, I said, I don't know where he stands. I feel like he's just pissed, and which I totally understand because I'm kind of in the same boat. I go, I can't quite drill down, not on your point, but like where you stand. And I went back and read our text and I go, I can't discern. Like, was he expecting this? Or like, no, it was more like, we knew what we were getting into with Mike. Where did you kind of stand on that? Like I think you believe what happened, but right. where did you kind of fall on that? Because I couldn't quite pinpoint it, really, for the first time since I've known you.
Yeah.
You were just mad. Like, Mike Schilt's just a jerk. Like, we heard this, yeah. And I just couldn't discern where you were.
Yeah, it was kind of like, has anybody ever listened to him on Ben and Woods? You know, has anybody watched Mike Schilt operate in a post-game press conference setting? You know, I don't want to come across like I'm knocking the reporting because I think the reporting was very good. I read through the AC piece many times. I mean, you're right. I do find myself kind of all over the place as it relates to Mike Schilt.
Us
because
too.
I read through it all and I thought, yeah, that checks out. You know, that sort of checks out with how Mike Schilt presented himself and the things that were being said about Mike Schilt. So, you know, is that what you have to do to win 90 games? No, I don't think so. You just talked to Skip Schumacher the other day. I don't think that's the way Skip Schumacher goes about his business. But that's the way Mike Schilt went about his business. And I don't know that it was a huge secret. That was just a trade-off that the organization was willing to make because this is a coach who, if you give him 162 games to manage, he will win 90 games. He's done it all four times that he's managed through a 162-game season. So, you know, I think you're right because I don't think it is like as black and white as, is he a good guy or is he a dickhead? Is he, you know, this? It's like, well, you're going to put up with a certain level of how he operates because you do get results. And I think even some of the coaches who were quoted or referenced in the story admitted as much. Like, we were better because of him, but we hated him at the end of the day. And you know, that just felt like a trade-off that people were willing to make for a short amount of time. So I don't care about him, I think, is the ultimate point. Like, I don't care about Mike Schilt. I don't care ever to talk about him again. I don't know also what the conclusion I'm supposed to draw from that piece is. Is that why they lost in the playoffs?
It's such an easy story if they won 70 games each in the last two seasons.
100%.
And the reason why they're not successful is because Mike Schilt's not a good people person with his staff, and no one wanted to play hard for him, and that it's done. It's easy. It's such a hard story because all these things about Mike Schilt are true. He's difficult. It's, you know, you can tell it. It's obvious, as you said, but he wins. And that's what you want as fans. That's what you want as an organization, which is why this is such a hard story to really take a strong opinion on either way.
Right. I mean, I think that's where really well said. And I think people, you know, there are lots of people who are difficult to work with in life. You know, yeah. Woodsy, I heard you talking about
Ben's one of them.
How demanding you could be. And it really resonated because there were times where I'm sure I was an a-hole to the people that worked on the show because, you know, it was my name on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I didn't feel like the energy was right, yeah, like I didn't, you know. And if something isn't going right, who's everybody going to blame? You know, they're not going to go blame the assistant hitting coach. They're not going to blame the fielding coordinator. They're going to blame Mike Schilt. Now, again, I don't think you have to operate that way. Skip Schumacher doesn't have to operate that way, but maybe Mike Schilt felt like he did.
Yeah.
And again, and I also think this is not a big surprise that this is the kind of person that he had been. But, you know, the other side of it is like, well, would that story have come out if he was still here? You know, did people know this? Were they loading up to drop this sort of thing? You know, I just think that all the details, as good as they were and as interesting as the story might have been, I guess I'm just not understanding the point. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Yeah, like it's good. Like, oh, okay, wow, that's interesting. But what does it mean? Were they all going to quit? You know, like, was he going to get fired? Were they going to have an intervention? Were they going to send him to counseling? What were they going to do? Did it have anything to do with them losing? Could they have won more games, or would they have lost less games if he hadn't been wired this way? And I don't know that I've landed on a conclusion from the story. It's interesting, but what was the point?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair question, D. Smith. And I just saw a little blurb about Bruce Bochy and Tim Flannery, our buddy, was quoted in, and he said, "This is not, it's not for the easily bruised working with Bochy. It's not
brutal sport,
right? But you
brutal.
You know what makes it all worthwhile when Flan posts that picture of those rings on his finger. That's what makes it worth it. I've talked to him before. And he's like, that's what you do it for. You do it for the rings. And had I not gotten the rings, I would have been crazier than I already am right now, you know? So you got
there. But it took a while to get there. It took a while. You know? And he got fired before, you know, he was able to go get those rings.
Yep.
Right? Like, he got fired by the Padres. And, you know, there was a period of time there where you know, it was probably healthy for Flan in the analysis of it. But, you know, it was bad. And that was a unique style. Now, I think the difference is that people like Bruce Bochy. You know, and Bruce Bochy made it clear that he does like his coaches. It was just he would be tough on them during games. And if Ryan Kleska ran through a stop sign, this is probably the clip that you saw, you know, he wouldn't yell at Ryan Kleska. He'd yell at Flannery.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Because he thought maybe players seeing their coaches get in trouble would have an impact on him. I don't know. Maybe players are different today. Maybe they don't care about that stuff. But you know, he thought maybe that would make the players better, you know, instead of them just shutting down. It's like, oh man, I feel bad. I just got this guy yelled at.
Yeah,
just got
him in trouble.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, but Bochy also had another side where he would take his coaches out. They go to dinner. They go drink wine. They go do all sorts of stuff. They go fishing in the offseason.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was much more likable. I've never met anybody that liked Mike Schilt, but, you know, I'm sure they exist somewhere. I just don't know where they are.
Darren, big game tomorrow. Last regular season game for SDFC going up
what
to Portland.
Run.
Portland, a team that's fighting to stay out of the wild card game or whatever they call it in MLS Cup. FC still can finish in first place if they win and Vancouver loses. Give us a little preview of tomorrow's game against the Timbers.
Currently sitting second, have an opportunity to finish anywhere from first, second, third, or fourth, depending on results. Also could play one of seven different teams in the playoffs next week. So it's kind of all over the place. But yeah, there's still a lot on the line. I think the best way and the easiest way is, you know, SDFC wants to win this game, and they want to win this game not just to carry momentum and all that. They could set another MLS record for road wins with 12. Nobody has ever done that. That's not an expansion record. That would be an MLS record. So that's number one. Number two, they would finish no worse than the two seed, which is really good. Of course, you want to be the one. You hope Vancouver loses, but I'm not so sure I would bet on that. You finish one of the top two, you get an invitation to that tournament that I keep rambling on about, the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So that would be good. And you know, you're setting yourself up. I mean, you could end up playing Portland. This is kind of crazy. Depending on the way everything else shakes out, you will play Portland coming up with your final regular season game on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then you might be facing them in the playoffs in a best of three. So you could potentially be playing Portland four straight times if it shakes out that way. So there's still a lot to play for. I love what our guy Mike Ivatis had to say yesterday. He talked about some of the MLS records that they've set, 18 wins, 60 points. He goes, there's one other MLS expansion record that I want. 1998 Chicago Fire, one MLS Cup. I would like to have that record as
that
well.
That would be so phenomenal.
I loved it. I just love the messaging there that we are happy. We are very, very proud of what we've accomplished by setting some of these MLS expansion records. But we do have one other MLS expansion record that we like, and that would be 1998 Chicago Fire. So I'm here for it. Looks like we're mostly healthy. Everybody returned back from international duty. So it's a big one. It's decision day in Major League Soccer. So a lot still to be decided.
And they will definitely have their first playoff game at home, whoever it's against. I had Tom Correct. Penn come by the studio this week, the CEO. He said they'll know Saturday night, like when the game's going to be. It'll depend on TV. It's probably either Saturday or Sunday next week. But they also have, he showed me, they brought it, some scarves for the first 25,000 fans that they're going to give away for the playoff game next week. But you need to still stay tuned to find out when nice. And against whom that is going to be.
Nice. You got a freebie, huh? Got a
little bit of no, he actually there. Took it away at the end of the interview because he didn't have any extra. He said, he said, you get the first one, handed it to me on the air, and then Daisy and Vicky, who were with him, said, actually, we need that back. We don't have another one. So they said, we'll bring you another one
at least
later.
You got your hands on.
Totally. We'll totally bring you. Yeah. Make sure he gets one.
Yeah. Well, will you guys pierce your nipples
I would
if
not.
SDFC
nope.
finishes top
nope.
of the Western
nope.
Conference?
Nope. Ben said he would wax his chest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We had a manscaping discussion earlier.
We did.
You're down for it. We need you. Yeah. You know, we need all the support we can get over here. So shave that chest.
Shave
is it
that
a hairy
chest.
One or what?
Oh, it's hairy.
Oh, yeah.
Hairier than a lot of people
really.
Thought
they
it would
were very
be.
Surprised.
It's
yeah,
like
we
Tom
were.
Selleck. Paul
really?
Paul Stanley.
Magnum P.I. is cool.
He is cool. Yeah. But you can't grow a mustache.
I guess because Ben always buttons his shirt up like Preller. Though,
that's that right.
You just never get exposure. To
never. He
that.
Never lets it flow, man.
Even at the beach, I'm reluctant to go shirtless. So.
He wears an old Kevin Garnett jersey at the beach.
So those 1920 bathing
like suits
that go
there.
All the way up. Yeah. Darren, thank you so much.
By the way, the multiple pierced ears was...
It was
for Woodsy? Yeah, it was good,
you can't be surprised.
Have a great weekend, Darren. We'll talk to you next Friday.
See you, fellas. Thanks, you.
Buddy.
There is Darren Smith on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline facing criminal charges. Trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We will come back. I want to comment a little bit on something Darren had to say there in that interview. We'll also play Take on Woods and get to our Padres smorgasbord, which is going to jump off from what Eno Saris was talking about yesterday, which is what the Padres need this offseason, power and pitching. How do they get there, and what's the most important need for the Padres this offseason? It's all coming up. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.